All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Benefits of Salvation. Today's message is, Who Are the Overcomers? It is August 14th, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. So we're going to open with prayer, and Joanna's going to do that.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we will be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and put on the new man, which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so who are the overcomers? They are those who overcome in Christ, who overcame. So Jesus overcame, and Jack is going to read us some scriptures about how Jesus overcame.
John 16:33, the world. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. ESV. Revelation 1:17-18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So Psalms 110:1-2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies and a footstool for your feet. The Lord extends your mighty scepter from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies, Baron.
All right. So Jesus calls true believers to overcome in his name, by his grace, and for his glory. As to the accuser, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Overcomers are those who are faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They demonstrate the agape love of God in giving to those who cannot give in return to them. They are obedient to the will of God and have a proper attitude toward the law of God. Overcomers are wise stewards. They live in agreement with the Godhead, his mind, his heart, his will. They demonstrate the grace of God in a selflessness that lays down the life even unto death. Overcomers acknowledge the word, align with the word, and abide in the word. Overcomers overcome. Overcomers learn to forgive. They learn agape love, which requires mature spiritual discernment. Overcomers live in agreement with the Godhead and seek to understand the mind of God in order to rightly apply the word of God. Overcomers are faithful in the little things of life. They serve and lay down their lives for the body. From Matthew 20, 25 to 28, and 1 John 3, 16 and 17. And 1 John 3, 16 and 17 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Overcomers know the sacrificial love of God in Christ, a love that acts for the good of the one loved. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for his own, those given to him by the Father. He demonstrated his love for us. He died by crucifixion. Do we have the same calling as Christ to die for the salvation of others? No. Romans 6, verse 10. But some might be martyred and some might die in the process of trying to save others, say someone who's drowning or trapped in a fire or being shot at, etc. John here argues from the greater to the lesser. If you say you're willing to lay down your life for the brethren, then what about the lesser things, like sharing with people in need? Watch those great swelling words and making commitments that sound just so spiritual. They may just be tested by God to see if they are those idle words or for real. And that is I want to emphasize that point about great swelling words. Many people go to conferences and seminars and they hear sermons and they're motivated and they are led at the end to make I will statements. Like rah, 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 you know. And I will, I will, I will. And remember the story of the little red hen. And she was going to make, what was she making? Bread. Bread. And the little red hen went around and told people, I'm going to make this bread. Who will help me make the bread? And all these other little animals went, I will, I will, I will. But no one came. No one came to help in reality. And then the story goes on, each thing all the way down to she ends up having to make that bread by herself the little red hen. How did the little red hen? Anyway, don't think too deeply. And then it was, and then, yeah, then it was time to eat the bread. Yeah. Okay. So then she was gonna say, who will help me eat the bread? And they all showed up. And then she says, I will eat it myself. She did not share. No, the original. Now I'm going back a long way. We're having conversation in the middle of this sermon, but this recording. But now the original was, I will eat it myself. So, and I understand now that today's version is, she went ahead and shared it anyway. You decide. I present both sides. All right. But God will test the I will, big, great swelling words. So best to put, as God grants grace, or something added to that. Okay, and it's serious business too, by the way. The living God has put in our hearts a longing for heaven. This longing is actually a longing for the living God, a longing to fully know him and to be fully known by him. Of course, we are fully known by God, but we still have that desire. We want to be fully known by God. God's greatest gift to us is himself. Revelation 22, verse 4, speaks of seeing God's face. Revelation 22:3-4, it says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be within the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. See, we are marked. Those born out of God, true believers, are marked. And in the spirit world, believe me, in the kingdom of darkness, they know who's marked. And has the brand mark of Jesus Christ. All right, in Exodus 33:18-23, Moses wanted to see God's glory. Show me your glory, Moses asked. God showed Moses his goodness. God knew Moses by name. God revealed his name, Yahweh, to Moses. And so it's important for us. God knows us by name. He may have a name for us different from the name and of however a person was born, when they were born, the name given. But God knew Moses by name. And God will reveal his name. He revealed the name Yahweh to Moses. And my experience and our experience in this ministry, as most of you know, has been to collect these names as God reveals them. And then God started revealing names that are kind of hidden in the scriptures. They're not translated exactly as a name, but they are names of God. And so we are blessed by those names. 1 Timothy 6:16, God lives in unapproachable light. Light, L-I-G-H-T. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Psalm 27:4, David's desire to dwell with God and gaze upon his beauty is described in Psalm 27. John 14:9, To see Jesus is to see the Father. Because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Matthew 5:8 tells us the pure in heart see God. Revelation 22:4, again, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. All of salvation is about getting back to the Father, seeing his face, basking in his glory. It's about his countenance shining upon us. And now Lauren's going to read us some scripture about these things. So from here, right there.
Second Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. John 17:3, the essence of eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. Psalm 73:23-28. God is our central desire, the source of all other joys and blessings. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell all of all your works. Philippians 1:19-24. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to be set their hopes on the unnecessarily of riches. Uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We are not to make idols out of God's provisions. In heaven, the competition ceases. Romans 8:32. God is a gracious giver. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously or freely give us all things?
Thank you. So, the goal is to be an overcomer in Christ. Let God's good gifts draw us to him, to thank him for his goodness and praise him for his greatness. Let his kindness lead us to repentance. Romans 2, his kindness leads us to repentance. The presence of God is a tangible presence, the Shekinah glory. We become what we behold. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. God's desire is expressed in covenant relationship. This is the essence of covenant. I will be your God and you will be my son. Or I will be your God and you will be my son. So it's a promise. It's a commitment on God's part. And if we remember that, I will be your God and you will be my son. And several cross references there from Leviticus 26:11-12, Ezekiel 27:37, 2 Corinthians 6:16, Revelation 21:3. Because the thing is, this is a thing, I will be your God and you will be my people, or you will be my children or whatever. That runs through Scripture. That runs through the Scriptures. But in the end, it is, I will be your God and you will be my son. And it's huios there. Huios in Greek. And it's singular. Why is it singular? I think it's because believers in Jesus Christ are in Christ. Christ is the head of the body of Christ. Okay. So heaven is the place where God dwells. Heaven is the place from which God rules and reigns supreme. Ephesians 1:10. The kingdom of God is within us. God's goal is that there be no barrier between us and him, no barrier between earth and heaven. Because, you know, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, the entire kingdom of darkness is overcome and out of there. Okay, so the Holy of Holies, a small space, becomes a city, 1,400 miles or 1,400 miles in each direction, a perfect cube, Revelation 21:16. And now Kate is going to read to us from Revelation 21.
The city lies four square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Revelation 21, 1 through 8.
Thank you. So let's ask, what is Jesus' faith and desire? John 17, verse 24. John Piper says, quote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So the Lord wants us to be satisfied in Christ, in our lives, we have died and our life is hidden with Christ, in Christ with God. Our lives are hidden in Christ with God. Okay, from Colossians. God is after oneness. God is after oneness, a unity, a wholeness, no barriers, nothing that separates. God desires to serve us. We are not to take advantage of that. But he desires to serve us. Isaiah 25, verse 6, Matthew 20, 28, John 13, verse 8. He makes his servants kings and priests. And I will say that's an important point to make. God is a giver, and people that are very generous oftentimes are open to being used by other people who just want the goodies. They just want the gifts, and they don't want the giver. You see it all the time. With God, God knows the difference. And he doesn't ask for much in return and doesn't really even like ask, but this is why it's so important to bless the Lord and to delight in him and thank him. It's a small thing, but some people just can't have, they just don't have any gratitude when God does something. They can't give him the glory. And even I've seen this, even when could they have in their own power pulled off whatever it was? No. It was a God thing. But they, it, somehow it's not in them to show any gratitude or express thank you, God, and tell the God story. And so we have to be aware that, yes, God desires to serve us, but he's not a genie that we pull out of a bottle and tell him what to do. And, you know, you love doing things for me, so here's my list. Don't exploit the relationship. I think you get the point. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Even now we are inseparable from Christ in a covenant bond of blood that cannot be broken. Even now our life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, that's right out. So it was hidden with Christ in God. For some reason I always get those turned around. Okay, Romans 8. Even now we come, and we are come to Mount Zion. That's from Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 22 and 23. Even now we are seated in heavenly realms or in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6. We are the tabernacle of the living God now. Even now we have access to the Father in the Holy of Holies. Even now we can know the oneness about which Jesus prays in John 17. Not fully, but we can get on that path of knowing that, experiencing it. Even now, we can be holy as God is holy. Not perfectly, but just because we're not perfect at it doesn't mean we shouldn't be striving and seeking to be holy as God is holy, separated from sin and self unto him. Even now, we are the body, the building, the bride, and the branch. That those are like analogies or metaphors or whatever. Right now, we are being prepared as the bride of Christ. We are to make ourselves ready, dressed in righteous acts, because we are saints. Revelation 19, verse 8. God is not against his creation. God is not against us or our bodies. God is for us and for his creation. We are to interact with him and with his creation. And this God of all graces, Father of mercies, the God of glory, desires that we be overcomers in Christ. Christ has overcome. He has overcome the world. The prince of this world has nothing in him. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. In Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, true believers overcome. That is one of the main messages, the main focal points of the book of Revelation. And I encourage everyone not to get sidetracked off into something about Revelation, and remember overcoming and the worship of heaven and being ready and prepared and the revelation of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. That's what's important in the book of Revelation. So while they dispute about all these things of how the end times are going to be pulled off, how's it going to happen? If we focus on that, and we're not focusing on what are we doing now? Are we ready? Are we praying? Do we really want to know who Jesus is? Do we really? We're being fit, made ready for heaven, where true believers are going to spend eternity. We have one life, this lifetime, to get ready. And so some people just, oh my goodness, they write all these books and they just battle it out. This is the way it's going to be. There are 8 different views of what's called eschatology, the study of the end times. And you can be a true believer and hold any one of those 8. No one knows exactly how it's going to play out. Nobody knows exactly. They missed it the first time around when Jesus came the first time and entered into our history, into the world. They missed it. They didn't recognize their visitation. And I think most people are missing it. While they squabble over this point or that point in there. But one thing we do know, those who overcome desire to please the Lord in all things. Jesus makes promises to those who do overcome. And so we hope to look at those promises next time. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you overcame. We thank you, Jesus, that you overcame. You are the captain of our salvation, and you will lead us out. You will lead us out of darkness. You will lead us, and you will get us from here to there. You will not lose one. And so we ask, Lord, that you grant us the grace to desire to be overcomers and to overcome, to conquer, as it were, that the rule and reign is talking about our own personal lives right now, to rule and reign over sin, over the flesh, over and selfishness, and over the world, and over Satan and the kingdom of darkness. We are to rule and reign. And help us to do what we're supposed to be doing right now, during our lifetimes right now, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because if you are for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.